scriptures come from Hebrews 11th chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith.
I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject, Heroes of Faith. And I'd like to call our attention back to that scripture that Brother Curtis read. Heroes of Faith, Hebrews 11 and verses 1 through 7. Well, you may know that October 31st, in addition to being Halloween, which I hesitate to mention, I know when I was a kid I loved Halloween. There's some good things, obviously, about it. And certainly, historically, it is a Christian holiday. It means Hallowed Evening. And it is a celebration historically in the Christian church of the saints, those who have gone before, the heroes of faith. I'm still getting some hissing there, Chris. I don't know whether, maybe it's me. That's better. Okay. That's very good. Well, I want to share with you this morning about heroes of the faith. Can we be a hero of the faith like Martin Luther, who stood against the traditions of his time, who was very much criticized, I suppose he would have been executed if they wanted to do that, because he was considered a heretic. But yet he stood for the truths of God's Word. He stood for the primacy of the Word of God over the traditions of men. And that, I believe, is really what a hero of faith is. We're going to begin to look this morning at these heroes of faith and what has been called God's Hall of Fame here, or Hall of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. So what is the lesson? Well, I believe the lesson is that we can be heroes of faith. We can be like these. The reason why God has listed these people, these great people of faith, is that they are not any different than we are. They were human like we are. They had failings like we do. But they became heroes because of their faith. Well, what are some essentials of a heroic faith? What are some things that we need to have in our life to have that kind of heroic faith? Well, as I look at Hebrews chapter 11 here, and we're just going to begin looking this morning at the first seven verses here of Hebrews. But I see, first of all, the essential of faith's confession. We must confess our faith, and we must have the faith that the Bible speaks of. I'm sure you've heard people say, well, I just have faith that things are going to work out. And maybe they mean, I have faith in God, but sometimes that's left out, isn't it? Faith is only as good, obviously, as its object, in as good as that thing or that person in which we place our faith. So, would you look with me at the opening verses there of Hebrews chapter 11? It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, I believe it's talking about conviction here. And I want to think about that for a moment. Didn't Jesus say that no one could come to him except that the Holy Spirit draw him, or the Father, I believe he said, draw him? And no one can come to me, he said. And so we need to realize that God puts that conviction in our heart. He puts that ability even to have faith. It doesn't even come from ourselves. So you may say, well, I don't have that faith, and where do I get it? Well, I think we need to recognize that who God is, that He is the Creator. And the Bible says that the invisible things of Him are clearly seeing, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse if we do not believe. So that conviction is there if we will let it be in our hearts. If we'll let God work in our lives, if we will open our hearts, our lives to him, then he will bring about that conviction that we need. But there's also a salvation here. The Greek word that is translated here, commended for. This is what the ancients, it says in verse 2, were commended for. That word is martyreo, which you may recognize as the word that we get our word witness from. Or not our word witness, but the meaning of the word witness. We get our word martyr from that. Here is where God is the martyr, if you will. Here's the where God is bearing witness. And he does that in response to faith. Romans 3:22. God said there through Paul, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now that's just saying that God declares righteous those who believe. Now I know we'd like to add to it, because human pride likes to say, I want to do it myself. If you've ever raised children, I know you've heard that so many times you were sick of hearing it. I want to do it myself. But how many times do we say that to God? Do we try to make ourselves feel saved, or try to do things to make us more saved, where the Bible says that there's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So faith is a response to what God is already doing in our lives. There's an instruction here as well in that faith's confession. Here it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I've heard many people say, I can't believe. I just don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith to believe that all of this could have been created just by God speaking it into existence. But let me ask you, what takes more faith? To believe what the Bible says, that God created all things? Or to believe that we evolved into this complex universe, including human beings, by just evolution? Now that takes a far greater leap of faith, in my opinion, than to believe that God simply is great enough to create what we all see. The Bible says that even the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead. I think the birds even sing their praise to God. I've often seen the trees pointing up. I've never seen one yet pointing down. But it's because nature bears witness to their creator, to its creator. But another essential of heroic faith is faith's possession. We must possess faith, not only profess it or confess it. It's not enough just to say, I have faith. But we must possess that faith. Here, and I'm going to skip down to verse 6 there, and then I'm going to go back. But in verse 6 it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I didn't say it's improbable, because you may know of someone who seems to be a pretty good Joe, and yet they don't have faith in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We should go back and refresh our memories of what faith is. It says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It doesn't say faith is kind of like wishing on a star or hoping that we're going to be in heaven one day. That's not enough. The Bible says certain, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So it's simply looking at what God has created and realizing that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us and believing that. Faith is simply believing what we've already seen. There's evidence. It's not like a blind leap in the dark, but there's evidence, the creation. God sending his Son, that Son dying on the cross, and the empty tomb, which witnesses to his resurrection, and the fact that he has sent his Holy Spirit to convict of sin and of the need for salvation. But we must possess it. Without faith, it says, it is impossible to please him. There's a primacy of faith, if you will, from the human side. Now, faith is actually, I believe, a response to God's grace. Without God's grace, there could not be faith. The Bible says that Even that faith is a gift of God. And salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So there's a primacy, but there's a primacy of faith from the human side. Without that response of faith to what God has done for us in sending His Son, there cannot be salvation. We cannot please God. There's an exclusivity, too, about faith. Faith plus nothing. There's nothing we can add to it. Again, the Bible says, lest anyone should boast. Well, God doesn't want us going around bragging about how good people we are, how we deserve heaven, and kind of patting ourselves on the back. I used to be able to do that, but my arthritis is... So I guess maybe the Lord has humbled me a little bit. But sometimes, figuratively, I've done that. And that's not going to get us into heaven. There's an exclusivity about faith. There's also a necessity of faith. That verse is in Titus 3:5 that says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And also in Romans 3:20 it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But to him who works not, but believes on Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I don't know if we have anyone here that would say that if when you get to heaven, God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? If you would say something like, well, I tried to live by the golden rule. That's a good rule, isn't it? It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you have tried to love your neighbor as yourself. Or you say, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are good. The Bible says that they are though our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, to show us where we fail, to show us that we need the grace of God and that response to God's grace, which is our faith. So we must have faith's possession. But we must also have faith's expression. And I'd like for us to begin to look at this list of those heroes of the faith. Now some of them you've heard about, some of them maybe you haven't heard about, or maybe you're not sure exactly who they were. So we're not going to do an exhaustive study of each one, but we're just going to introduce each one and their faith, and then let you study, if you'd like, more about their life. But the first one mentioned there is Abel. Now that's logical, isn't it? That's alphabetical. I don't think God was trying to be alphabetical here, but Abel was the son of Adam and Eve. I'm sure you all knew that. But it says here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now I believe that Abel was justified, well, certainly by faith, but because of the offering that he brought that showed his faith. Now doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead? Now that doesn't mean that we have to add works to our salvation. That just means, I believe, a faith that works, a faith that demonstrates itself in a life of faith. Abel showed that by the offering that he made. He recognized his need for atonement. That offering was a blood offering, wasn't it? A lamb from the flock. And it was a blood offering because Abel understood through Adam and Eve, but also directly God had revealed to him his need for atonement. From the very beginning, it was known. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned, that is, it was known that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that shedding of blood, thankfully, is not our own blood. Now, it's not somebody's blood that we'd like to take vengeance on, because that's just going to add to our own sin. That blood is the blood of a substitute. And that speaks of Calvary. Abel was the first one that we know of who came to the cross. Now, I don't know about Adam and Eve. I think that they were saved. But I know that Abel was saved because he brought this sacrifice. A better sacrifice, it says, than Cain did. Cain brought a salad, vegetarian. He was a man of the flesh. He would not recognize his sinfulness and his need for atonement. But Abel did. So there's the offering in faith's expression. There's also the walking. Enoch is the second mentioned here. Here it says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And if you look back in Genesis chapter 5 and in verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So here was a man with a walk of faith. And that just speaks of a life of faith. A life that is walking by faith, not by sight, as the Bible says. Because we are so prone to do that, aren't we? We want to figure it all out ahead of time. And we want God to show us exactly what he wants us to do 5 years from now. Well, God doesn't work that way. The word, it says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we take step by step along the path of life, God will reveal his truth to us. But that's why it says we walk by faith and not by sight. In modern aircraft, they have devices, avionics I think they're called, that will guide that aircraft to an airport even if there's no visibility. Well, that would take tremendous faith to me. If I were up there flying in the clouds, and sometimes the pilots don't even see the horizon, and they can't tell whether they're up, whether they're headed up or down, and there have been many crashes because the pilots have trusted more in their physical sense than in their instruments. Well, that's a little like faith. We trust when we cannot see, and we simply believe that God is working in our lives, that he's working good purposes, and we walk with him step by step as Enoch did. And incidentally, I believe Enoch is a type of the believer who will be raptured. We looked at the second coming of Christ, and we're going to continue our study on Sunday night for a while. So I'd like to invite you to come back, and we're going to talk more about the rapture. But Enoch was a type of the believer who was walking with God, and when that time came that the Lord called him, he went up to be with the Lord. I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker, aren't you? I hope you are. Now, God may take us through death. We don't know what he has in store for us, but I believe that the coming of Christ is near, and so I'm looking for the undertaker, as Enoch was. But there's the third expression of faith is building. Building. Here it says Noah, by faith, when warned about things not as yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Just think of the faith of Noah. It had never even rained on the earth. You might say, well, how could that be? That the earth would be a desert. No, there was water. There was water everywhere. Probably as all the water that there is now, but apparently the climatic structure of the earth, the structure, physical structure of the earth was different. There was water deep in the earth. The Bible says that when the flood came, the fountains of the great deep were broken up. No, there is water in the earth now, but oceans of water deep in the earth. And then there must have been a vapor canopy like there is in many of our planets, even in our solar system. And so things were different before the flood. But nevertheless, there was not a deluge. There had never been a catastrophe like that in all the history of the earth. Now, ever since then, of course, there have been periodic floods, but they're local. And tsunamis, we've seen those. But think of the faith of this man that it says by faith he prepared an ark for the saving of his family. And I think that shows too, shouldn't we put the priority on saving our own families? There are many people who would go across the world to save a soul, but they have people in their own family that they will not speak to. I don't know whether that's true, but I think that there are probably those who would say, I'll go, and yet there are people in their own family who need Christ in their life. Well, we should not just limit ourselves, obviously, to our own family. But do you see how this showed faith that Noah, it says, being warned about things not yet seen, never happened. Many would say it could not happen. Like today, people say, well, things have continued as they were from the creation of the world or from whenever that was, you know, the Big Bang. And it could never happen that there could ever be a catastrophe like the flood. Or the Bible says that one day there's going to be another worldwide catastrophe. It's going to be by fire, though. So Noah built an ark, it says, for the saving of his family. Let me ask you, what are you building? What are you building through your life? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in beginning of verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if anyone builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every person's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, it's not talking about work in the sense of works, salvation. It's talking about a faith that works, a faith that demonstrates itself in a life of faith, like Abel's, like Enoch's, and like Noah's. May we be encouraged to be like them, because they were heroes of faith, and so can we, if we will have the faith of Abel. Offering, come to Calvary, recognize our need for salvation, walking with God as Enoch did, day by day, step by step, and then building in the lives of others, building in our own lives, but building in the lives of others, that they might come into that ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know Him as their Savior.
Here I am, O God, I bring this sacrifice, my open heart. I offer up my life, I look to You, Lord, Your love that never ends restores me again. So I lift my eyes to You, Lord, in Your strength will I break through, Lord, touch me now, let Your love fall down on me. I know Your love dispels all my fears. Through the storm I will hold on, Lord, and by faith I will walk on, Lord. Then I'll see beyond my Calvary one day, and I will be complete in You.